Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra daf Kuf Nun Dalid. Just a reminder, I'm not going to be here Shabbos, Sunday, or Monday. So no daf Yomi Shir in the shul, Shabbos, Sunday, or Monday. Kuf Nun Dalid and Bava Basra. We are at the two dots on the very bottom of daf Kuf Nun Gimel and Beis. Just the quote from the Mishnah, V'cham Mamra Motzi Mechaveir Olav Haraya. So just to remind ourselves that the Mishnah on Kuf Nun Gimel and Aleph told us that if the shtar did not have any lishonos that indicated whether the person writing the shtar was a shchiv mera or a bari, now obviously now the person who was giving is a bari, and he's claiming that at the time that he wrote the shtar he was a shchiv mera because he wants to say that all the property still belongs to him and he was only giving it away because he thought he was going to die, and therefore im amad chozer, now he's better, he wants all the money back, and the recipients are claiming, no, you gave it to us, and you were a bari when you gave it to us. You can't just go back on it now. You were perfectly healthy at the time that you gave it to us. So what's the halacha in that case? So there was machlokas in the Mishnah. Reb Meir held that he needs to bring a raya that he was a shchiv mera. Otherwise, we say, look, you look healthy to us now. It doesn't say anywhere that you were shchiv mera. A regular person, we assume, is a healthy person. You gave the matana. It's over with. You're done. It no longer belongs to you. And the chacham say, no, he's the muchsa. In it. The Marakama, the one who had these items first, is the Muchzak. And therefore, if you want to take it away from the Muchzak, Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Haraya, the Mekablim, the recipients, are going to have to bring a Raya that in fact he was a Bari at the time of the writing of the Shtar. So, Frek the Gemara on the top of Kuf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, Raya B'mai. What kind of raya is he expected to bring? Meaning, they're supposed to bring a raya that he was healthy at the time. What kind of raya? How do they bring a raya? So says Rashbam, Bein Rabban and Bein Rameir Kabayi. This shaila is a shaila. This kasha is both within Rabbanon and within Rameir. Umishumdika lefarsha betray gavni kidel kaman kabayi hachi. And we'll see that there are two ways to explain it, to explain what the raya is. That's why we're asking the question, because we're aware of the fact that it could mean one of two separate things. But it's a question both within Rameir and within the Rabbanon. Both within the Rabbanon, who say that Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Lahavi Raya mentions a raya, and Rabbi Meir, who doesn't mention a raya, a mayor who says that the assumption is that he was a bari, because the assumption is, I'm sorry, Rav Meir says, yeah, that he was a bari, and he has to bring a raya, that it mentions having to bring a raya, that he was a shchiv mera. So what is this raya that they would have to bring, saying that he was a bari? What's the raya he would have to bring, saying he was a shchiv mera, according to Rav Meir? Tosu says that the kash is not both within the Rabbanan and within Rav Meir. Tosu says, Pirush Rabbein Shmuel, Bein Rav Meir, Bein Rabbanan, by raya b'mai. Rashbam says it's a kasha both within the Rabbanan and within Rav Meir. Ve'ein nirei, he says, but that's not true. Da pshito the Rav Meir, davi raya be'edim. There's no question within Rav Meir's point of view, where Rabbi Meir is the one who said that he has to bring a raya that he was a shchiv mera. The only way he's going to be able to bring a raya that he was a shchiv mera is by bringing Edom. What else is he supposed to do to prove that he was a Shchiv Mera at the time of writing the Shtar, if not Edom? It's Pashut, therefore, that when Rav Meir says he has to prove that he was a Shchiv Mera, that he has to bring Edom that he was a Shchiv Mera. And says Tosfos, V'chein Pirush Rabbeinu Shmuel Achar Kein, the Rav Meir HaVaraya Be'edim. And the Rashbam himself says so within the answer of the Gemara, when the Gemara is going to give one of the answers that there's a Raya with something other than Edom. Even Rashbam is going to say, yeah, according to the Rabbanon, there's a raya with something other than Edom. But according to our mayor, there's nothing to bring a raya with. It's only Edom. It only makes sense to bring a raya with Edom. Because let's see the answer of the Gemara. We can talk more intelligently once we see the two answers. Rav Huna amar raya be'edim. Rav Huna says the raya that each one brings is with Edom. So according to our mayor, he brings a raya, meaning he brings Edom, that was a shchiv mera at the time of the writing of the Shtar. And according to the Rabbanon, the recipients bring Edom, that he was a bari at the time of writing the Shtar. Rav Chista v'Rabba Barav Huna Amri, Raya B'kiyum HaShtar. Then no, the Raya is by being Mekayim the Shtar. The recipients want to show that the guy was healthy and it was a real Matana. They don't have to prove that he was healthy. All they have to prove is that the Shtar is a valid Shtar. As soon as they validate the Shtar, we assume on our own that he was healthy, and therefore they receive the gift. And what about within Rav Meir? Rav Meir says that you have to bring the guy himself has to bring a raya that it was a shchiv mera if he wants to keep it. So what do you mean, Raya Bekim Ashtar? How's being Mekayim the Shtar going to help him at all? Obviously, it doesn't mean Raya Bekim Ashtar. Obviously, it means only Raya Be'edim. That's what Tosfos is referring to. Kiyum Ashtar does nothing to prove that he was a Shchiv Mira. So according to Rav Meir, what he needs to prove is that he was a Shchiv Mira. It's Pashut that what he needs to prove is, the way he needs to prove it is by bringing Eidim. So there's nothing to even talk about within Reb Meir. So the obvious kasha is, what was the Rashbam thinking? Why does Rashbam explain the Gemara's question, Bein Rabbanan, Bein Reb Meir, according to Reb Meir, that he's bringing a Raya, that he was a Shchiv Mira? There's only one way to do that, and that's with Eidim. What kind of kasha is it? Raya B'mai, within the Shita of Rebbe Meir. And the Rashbam himself seems to be moda this, because even within the Deya, that the Raya is B'kiyu Mashtar, he says, yeah, the Rabbanan hold that in order to prove that the recipients should receive this item, they should receive these nechasim, they are Mekayim Ashtar. But Reb Meir, who says that he needs to prove that he was a Shchiv Mira, of course would say it's only Be'edim. So I saw in the Biurei Hadaf, in a footnote, he quotes the Sefer Kos HaYeshuos, who explains Rashbam as follows, that you're right, according to Reb Meir, there's no doubt that the Raya is Raya Be'edim. But nevertheless, when the Gemara raises the suffix, Raya B'mai, it has an impact on Rabbi Meir's Shita also. Meaning, the Raya B'mai, when the Rashbam says, Bein Rabban and Bein Rameir Kabayi, what he means to say is not that Rabbi Meir would hold the Raya is with anything but Eidim. Obviously, it's only with Eidim. It means to say that this Shaila impacts the Shita's Rabbi Meir also. How does it impact the Shitas Reb Meir? So he says as follows, Sheyesh l'stapek, he says there's room to be mistapek, there's room for a suffek. That which Reb Meir says, that the giver needs to bring a raya that it was a shchiv mira, is that only when the matana was already received by the mekabli matana, and he wants to get it back? Or maybe even if he's still muchzuk in the nechasim, he still needs to bring a raya that is a shchiv mira. What's Rav Meir's shita? Is Rav Meir's shita that he needs to prove that he was a shchiv mira when he's trying to be motzi miyadam? Or no, he needs to prove when he's a shchiv mira even to be mekayim biyadav, even to keep it. So if you're going to say that that which the Chachamim say, that the Mekabli Matana have to bring a Raya, means Raya Be'edim, so then it has to be that we're talking about where the Nosin is Muchzak. Because if the Nosin is not Muchzak, then it's not Shaykh Seyam Motzi Mechaver Lev Raya. Right, what was the Chachamim's whole Shita? The Nosin is one that's Muchzak. You want to get it away from him? Bring a Raya, be Mekayim the Shtar, bring a Raya that he was a Bari at the time. So clearly, the Nosin is the Muchzak within the Chachamim. And therefore, it would turn out that if that's what the Mishnah is talking about, Rav Meir's Shita, that the guy has to bring a Raya, that the giver has to bring a Raya, that it was a Shchiv Mira, would be true even if he's still Muchzak in the item. But if you say that that which the Chachamim say that they have to bring a Raya is a Raya B'kiyum Ashtar, so it could be the Mekablim were already Muchzak. And you could still call them being motzi mechaver, because so long as you don't have shtar mekuyam to verify that this gift was ever given to them, so they're not called the muchzak yet. So it could be that the hechitimsa, the case in the Mishnah, is talking about where the mekablim are already muchzak. Ah, so if that, and you would still say motzi mechaver alav haraya on the no sein, because the chazaka is not a real chazaka, because there's no kiyum ashtar yet. So then it could be that Reb Meir's Shita is only that he has to prove that he's a Shchiv Mira if the other people are holding on to the items already. But if he still has it, maybe Reb Meir would hold that he would not have to bring a Raya that he's a Shchiv Mira. So that's how it's a Nafka Mina, even according to Reb Meir, it's a Nafka Mina, how to understand the Rabbanan, even according to Reb Meir. It's said it backwards, that whether the Rabbanan hold the Raya is B'kiyum Ashtar, or whether the Rabbanan hold the Raya is Be'edim, will make a difference in terms of what Rabbi Meir's Shita is, under what circumstances Rabbi Meir would require the guy to bring a Raya that he is a Shchiv Mira. Okay, let's explain each opinion. Third line from the top, Kufnun Dalet Amun Aleph. Rav Huna Amar Raya Be'edim, Kamifugli Beplugta De Rabbi Yaakov Rabbi Nassan. Rav Huna holds the Raya that he brings is with Edim, because the Machlokas in our Mishnah is the Machlokas between Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Meir K'Rabbi Nassan, this is the Machlokas we had yesterday. do we look at Chazakah da Hashta? Do we look at what things are now and assume the same has always been? Or do we look at not the Chazakah da Hashta, but we look at a Chazakah da Beikara? So Rav Huna, Rav Meir holds like Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Nassan is one that said, Zil Basar Hashta. Look at what things are now. So Rav Meir will say, well, look at this guy now. What is he now? Right now he's a bari. Right now he's a perfectly healthy person. And therefore, we have the right to assume when he gave this matana, he was a perfectly healthy person. And therefore, it's not his anymore. He gave it. It's gone. If he wants to maintain the rights to these nechasim, let him prove otherwise. But right now we have a chazakah d'hashta that he's a bari. That's the sheet of Rav Meir. He wants to prove that these items still belong to him. Bring a raya that you were a shchiv mera, because right now you're not a shchiv mera. V'rabbanan k'Rabbi Yaakov, and the Rabbanan will hold like Rabbi Yaakov, who say that we don't look at the chazakah d'hashta. Right? The Chachamim say the nosein is muchzak in the nechasim. The mekabel matan is going to be the one that has to bring a raya be'edim. That the guy in fact was a bari at the time of the giving of the gift. That's the straightforward machlokas. If you say raya is be'edim. Rav Chista, v'Rab Bar Rav Huna, Amri Raya B'kim Ashtar. Now, so if the Raya that the Chacham say in our Mishnah you have to bring refers to Kiyam Ashtar, then what's the Machlokas Rav Meir and the Chachamim? They can't just be arguing about Chazaka Dahashta versus not Zil Basar Hashta, because if it's Raya B'kim Ashtar, does Kiyam Ashtar prove that what he was at the time that he wrote the shtar? Kiyam Ashtar just says that the shtar wasn't forged, it's a valid shtar. It doesn't prove anything about what he was at the time that he wrote the shtar. Meaning if the whole raya of the Chachamim are going to say, these recipients want to get this matana, they need to be mekayim the shtar, what does that do for them? They'll be mekayim the shtar, the guy will say, yes, it was a kosher shtar, it was a valid shtar. I told you it was a valid shtar, I never argued on that point. My only point is that I was a shchiv mera when I wrote it. What have they proven by being Mekayim the Shtar? The very baseline of the discussion must be that Zil Basar Hashta, that we look at what he is now, right? Otherwise, the fact that you were Mekayim the Shtar means nothing. So if you assume that you look at what he is now and you say, oh, he's a Bari, it must have been a good gift, as long as we can be Mekayim the Shtar, so then you understand that if you can be Mekayim the Shtar, it's a valid gift, and that's the Shita of the Chachamim. Whereas if you can't be Mekayim the Shtar, then the guy could say, look, I could have told you the whole Shtar was invalid. Migo, that I could have told you the whole Shtar was invalid, believe me, that I was a Shchiv Mera at the time. Right? So that's why the Kiyum HaShtar is important. But the baseline of the discussion must be that that Zil Basar Hashta, like Rabbi Nassan. So if Chis Rabbi Rav Huna Amri Raya B'Kiyum HaShtar, but what are they arguing about? So Kamifkli B'mod B'Shtar Shekasu Tzarech L'Kaimo. What they're arguing about is, do you need a Kiyum HaShtar when someone was Modeh that he wrote a Shtar? If a Lov is Modeh that he wrote a Shtar and that it's not Mezuyev and that it's totally kosher, but he claims, I paid it, or I was a Shchiv Mera, or it's Shtar Amana, Shtar Pasim, right? He tries to invalidate it in some other way. He says, it's a kosher shtar, I wrote it, I definitely wrote it, but it shouldn't be able to be used for a variety of reasons. I was a shchiv mera at the time, and now I'm a bari, so therefore it's invalid. Or it's a shtar amana, shtar pasim, which, shtar amana is, I wrote the shtar, but I never actually got the money. I just wrote it in advance because I trusted you to pay me. Or shtar pasim is just a total fake. A shtar pasim is, I write a shtar for you because I wanted to be nice to you. I wanted to make it look like you're doing a lot of business. So this way, when you go into business deals with other people, you look like an active businessman who's able to buy lots of land and whatever, but lo hayav lo nivra, you never bought anything from me, right? That's a shtar pasim. So maybe if I'm modeh b'shtar shekasvu, do we need a kiyum hashtar, or do we say do we need a kiyum hashtar because I can make all of these claims that it's for invalid for whatever reason, even though I admit I wrote it, or do we say no? Once I'm modeh that I wrote the shtar, That's the end of the game. That's it. So then you don't need any sort of kiyum. Then the shtar is mekuyum e'elav. But there's no greater kiyum than me being modeh that I wrote the shtar. So Rav Meir says, "Rav modeh b'shtar shekasvu ein tzarich l'kaimo." Rav Meir holds, well, once he says he wrote the shtar, that's it. He no longer needs to be mekayim the shtar, and therefore, who's going to be the one that's going to have the upper hand in the case of our Mishnah? The recipients. They have a valid shtar, and they have the guy who wrote it saying, "Yes, I did write it." That's it. That's all you need. And if the giver of the Nosin Matana wants to have his Matana back, he's going to have to prove something. What's he going to have to prove? He's going to have to prove he was a Shchiv Mira. How does he prove he was a Shchiv Mira? So that's what we said. There's no way to prove you were a Shchiv Mira other than Eidim. Obviously, he's going to do it with Eidim. For Rabbanan Savri and the Rabbanan hold, no. Modu B'Shtar Shekasu, Tzarech L'Kaimo. The Rabbanan hold that if you were Modu B'Shtar Shekasu, you admitted that you wrote a Shtar, you still need to be Mekayimit. Oh, if you still need to be Mekayimit, so then you understand that the recipients are going to be the ones that have to bring a raya. This guy said, the Nosin said, yes, I wrote the Shtar, but I was a Shchiv Mera, and therefore it shouldn't be valid. So do we need a Kiyum Shtar? So yes, we do need a Kiyum Shtar, according to the Rabbanan, and that's why the Rabbanan say if the recipients want to get it, they're going to have to prove that in fact he was a Bari at the time that he wrote the Shtar. Good, so that's the Machlokas. Frek the Gemara, that's not a new Machlokas. This Machlokas about Modu B'Shtar Shekasu, Tzarech L'Kaimo, Ein Tzarech L'Kaimo, this isn't a new Machlokas, V'Afligu B'Chad HaZimna. This has been argued about once already. Titania, we have a Braisa, Ein Ne'emanim L'Poslo, Divra Meir V'Chomrom Ne'emanim. There you have a Machlokas in Maseches Ksubos. The case is, the Gemara over here leaves out the case, just gives us the psak. What's the case? So if you look at Rashbam, second to last, medium-sized line, Ein Amanim, Ditran Hasam, we have a Mishran Ksubos, He'edim Sha'amru Ksav Yadenu Huzeh. Edim come into court and they say, yeah, that's our handwriting. Aval, Anusim Ayinu, Ketanim Ayinu, Psulim Ayinu, that's absolutely our handwriting. We wrote that shtar, we signed that shtar, but there was a gun to our head when we signed it. It's not because the things that were in it were true. There was a gun to our head, so we had to sign it. Or we were children at the time that we signed it. We weren't kasher eidim. Or we were gamblers or whatever. We were puzzled for whatever reason. We were relatives, whatever it might have been. We were puzzled at the time. Hare elu ne'emanim. They're believed to say that it's an invalid shtar. Why? Because the only reason we know that it was valid in the first place, that it's really their handwriting in the first place, is what? Is because they told us it's their handwriting. So that's the concept. Shapesha asar huapesha hitir. The same mouth that told us that it was a valid shtar is the same mouth that told us that it's an invalid shtar. V'tanya b'gemara, and the Gemara has a brisa, ein ne'emanim l'posel divra meir, upalagam asnisin. Rameir says, no, they're not believed to apostle it. Rameir disagrees with the Mishnah. He says they're not believed to apostle it. We don't have a concept of HaPesha Aser when it comes to Shtaros. And the Gemara over there explains what's Rameir's real reasoning. Once the Lova was Moda that he wrote the Shtar, there's no longer any need for a Kiyum Ashtar. So once he says, Anika Saftiv, once he says, I wrote it, so then he's not believed to say anything else. He's not believed to say, yeah, but I was puzzled, I was katan. No, he already had the greatest Kiyum Ashtar he could ever have, and that is the Hoda'ah that he wrote it. So Rameir already told us that he thinks, Moda B'Shtar Shekasvu, Ein Tzarech L'Kaimo, that as long as you were Moda that you wrote the Shtar, that's it, that's the greatest Kiyum Ashtar. What do I need? And the Chachamim held over there that we don't say Modu B'Shtar Shekasvu Ein Tzarech L'Kaimo. We say Tzarech L'Kaimo, that you would need to still be Mekayim, and that's why we say that the guy is believed to say, yes, I wrote it, but I was a katan, I was a apostle, I was an anus. So we already had this machlokas. What are we adding over here? Answers the Gemara Tzricha. We need the machlokas in both places. Diit marahi, had we only had the machlokas over there, b'hi kam rabban mishum dalim yedim umarishtara. I would say over there, even though the moda the lova was moda that he wrote it, that's not called the kiyum because the edim themselves were passel their signatures. So since edim are so strong to ruin a shtar, that's why the hodah of the lova doesn't help. But in our case, over here, it's the lova himself who's being moda b'shtar shekasvu, right? So he doesn't have the ability to totally destroy the shtar and to say that he was a shchiv mira. Once he's moda that he wrote the shtar, the edim aren't passeling their chasima, meaning the fundamental difference between the two cases is in our case, in our Mishnah, what happened? The guy who owes the money, or who supposedly owes the money, admitted that he wrote it, and he's the one that's trying to invalidate it by saying that the circumstances when he wrote it were such that he shouldn't owe any money, namely that he was a Shkiv Mira. In the case in Ksubas, the guy who wrote it, the guy who owes the money, is not the one who's trying to invalidate it. The one who's trying to invalidate it are the Edim themselves. The Edim are saying, we were Anus, we were Ktanim, we... So Edim have the ability to do that. The guy himself does not have the ability to do that. Aval hacha hu delav kol kiminei emalav. Over here where it's him, he doesn't have the ability to just say that it's puzzle. So that's no good. V'yit mar baha, and had I only had our Mishnah, baha kamer Rabbi Meir, I would say yes, in our Mishnah, that's where Rabbi Meir holds, that he needs to bring a raya, that he was a shchimira. But in that case, I would think that Rabbi Meir would be moded to the Rabbanan that ain't tzarich l'kaimo. So tzricha, so therefore, or the tzarich l'kaimo. So tzricha, therefore, both machloksim are needed. V'cheinam a Rabba, and Rabba also says raya be'edim. That when we say raya, that he has to bring a raya, it means he has to bring a raya with edim. So meaning Rabba holds like Rav Huna. We had a machlokas on the top between Rav Huna and versus Rav Chista and Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Rabba holds like Rav Huna, that the raya that we talk about in our Mishnah is a raya be'edim. Amar lei Abaye, my taima, why? Why does what's the reasoning? So if you're going to say it's because all other shtaros always say a lashon that you were a bari. It says I'm writing this shtar that I owe this money when I was walking on my feet in the market, meaning I was alive and well. And over here it doesn't say it. So that implies the fact that it's missing a lashon of bari is an implication that he was a shchiv mira. Because when you write a normal shtar, when you're healthy, you put a lashon in to indicate that you're healthy. Adarabba, I'll tell you just the opposite. No, that's not a raya that you're a shchiv mira. Midukuluk sibu kav katsiv rami barasei. Whenever you write a shtar shchiv mira, you always include a lashon in the shtar that mentions that you were a shchiv mira. You say that I wrote this shtar when I was on my bed, when I was a shchiv mira. Vahalok sibba, this one does not have such a lashon. So Shema Mina Bari Havi, isn't that an indication the opposite, that he must have been a Bari? Meaning normally in shtaros we try to be as clear as we possibly can. Just like in any shtar that you would write nowadays, you try to be as clear as you possibly can, try to leave no room for error whatsoever. Right? So if you're a Bari, you write that you're a Bari. If you're a Shchiv Mira, you write that you're a Shchiv Mira. Over here, neither Lashon appeared in the shtar. So you have conflicting implications. That implies that he's a Bari, implies that he's a Shchiv Mira. So what do? Ikal meimar hachi, v'ikal meimar hachi, ukamamoni b'cheskos mare. So you could, since it can go either way, so there's a chazaka. So you go with the chazaka. Whoever is muchzak in the money, he's the one that gets to keep it. Ubeplukta, Rabbi Yochanan amar raya be'edim, Rabbi Shimon Lakish amar raya b'kim ashtar. And this machlokas, Rav Huna and Rav Chista, is a on the top is a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Is it a raya be'edim, or is it a raya b'kim ashtar? If you look at Rashbam, Ikal Meimar Hachi, right, so since we don't know what to do, this is Rabba hu dekamashani la'abaye hachi. This is Rabba answering Abaye. And what's he saying? What Rabba was saying when he was giving this whole story about, well, there's no lashon in the shtar to indicate, and therefore we have to go basar chazaka. What's he saying? He's explaining the sheet of the Rabbanan. He's saying mishum deikal meimer hachi v'hachi musafkal and amanas bariu amanas chimera hilka chukumon b'cheskas marei. Therefore, you follow whoever is muchzuk b'cheskas nosein, and that means in the hands of the nosein v'hilka chamotzi mechaveru dahenu balashtar, and therefore the one who wants to get the money, namely the balashtar, alav lahavi raya beidim shabari hayilahotzimam b'cheskas nosein. He's going to have to bring a raya, right? That's Rabbi explaining the sheet of the Rabbanan. But either way, we have this machlokas what the raya is that you have to bring, whether it's raya be'edim, raya b'kim ashtar. It's not only machlokas Rav Huna versus Rav Chis and Rabba Rav Huna, it's also machlokas Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. So frak the Gemara, Eisvei, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon Lakish. So Rabbi Yochanan asks on Reish Lakish. Again, Reish Lakish is the one who said raya b'kim ashtar. Asks Rabbi Yochanan on Reish Lakish, Maisa b'bnei brak. There was a story that occurred in B'nei Brak. It says Rashbam b'bnei brak makom. It's a place. Unbelievable, no? B'nei Brak Makom, I guess you might have thought, Maisa b'bnei Barak. We're talking about, there was a story with the children of Barak. So says Rashbam, no. We're not talking about anyone whose name is Barak. Barak is a biblical name, right? It's not only the name of our president. It's a biblical name also. So Maisa, right? Eshes Dvorah was Eshes Lapidos, but Chazal tell us that Lapidos was Barak. Barak was the general in the times of Dvorah and Sefer Shoftim, right? So anyway, so you might have read it that way. So that's why Rosh Hashanah has to tell you, no. This is a place. We're talking about Bnei Brak, you know, the famous Bnei Brak. There was a guy who was selling his father's properties, and the guy died. The son who was selling the properties died. So what was the issue? Ubo b'nei mishpacha, the other members of the family came, v'iriru lomar katana yibishas misa. And they said, you know what, at the time that he died, he was a katan. So therefore the sale is totally invalid. We get back those properties that he sold. There are Yerusha. Those sales were meant nothing. Ubo v'sholos Rabbi Kiva mal lebodko. So they said, and obviously the guys who bought it said, no, he was a gadol. He was definitely over bar mitzvah when he sold it to us. So they said, okay, can we go and take him out of his grave and check if he was a gadol or a katan? Can we exhume the remains and see if he was heavy shtei saros? It must have been fairly fresh. He must have been recently buried. And they thought they were going to be able to tell, that they'd be able to check. So they asked Rabbi Akiva, no, can we do this to settle this monetary dispute? Amr lahem iatam rasham lenavlo. He said, "Rabbanu Shalom, are you nuts? You can go be menavel." It doesn't say that. He just said, "You know, you're not allowed to be menavel a mace. You're not allowed to dig up a dead body for what? For a couple of bucks? That's a absolutely not." Va'od, and furthermore, what are you even going to be able to tell? Simanim asuyin l'shtanos la'achar misa. Simanim changed la'achar misa. So it's not even going to help you any. You're going to go and exhume the remains, and then you still won't be able to tell what he was, because it's still not going to, right? It's still not going to be conclusive evidence. If you look at Rashbam, va'amdu alav b'nei mishpacha, what were they trying to do over here? So v'kasal kadai t'chashta, the assumption right now is nichse b'cheskas yorshin kaimi, v'lo ba'u adayin li'al d'kuchos. At this point in the Gemara, we're supposed to be assuming who's holding on to these nechasim. The yorshim still have it. The Lukuchos never took possession of it yet. Vasu Lukuchos v'kama'aru l'hotzi min ha'yarshim. And the Lukuchos were saying, in order to get it from the Yarshim, they wanted to say, we know that this guy sold it to us and that he was an adult. L'fisha cut him in a mace. And the Yarshim are saying, no, we're holding on to it, we're keeping it, we're not giving it to you, because we believe that our relative was a katan when he died. Because we know that you're not allowed to sell anything until you're ben esrim, and therefore you can't take it from us. The Lukuchos couldn't find any edim to say that it was a gadol. Go. And therefore they needed to check. And if they couldn't check and they couldn't find Edim, the Lukuchos are going to lose out. Meaning, absent a check in the grave, whoever is Muchsuk is going to end up holding on to it. And the relatives are the one that are Muchsuk. So Rabbi Akiva could Rabban and Darmi Amotzi Mechaver Lavaraya Be'edim Shabari Haya Vachnami Lukuchos Avaraya Shagadal Haya. Meaning Rabbi Akiva's Pesach assumed, like the sheet of the Rabbanan in our Mishnah, that you that if you want to take something away from the Muchsuk, prove it. And over here, the Lukuchos wanted to take something away from the Yarshim, who were the Muchsuk. Good? So that's what's going on in our Gemara. Now, before we get to what the Kasha is, Frek Tosos, Vim Tomar, the bottom Tosos, the Maidus Al Kadaitik Shal Kuchos, Oyebotkinos, Oyeb Hayagadol Olav, Heichachalio Shim Nir Katan Mechayev, Shir Gadol Achar Misa. How could it be? What do you mean it's going to change? He looked like a katan when he was alive, and now he's going to look like a gadol. I mean, the Lukuchos are trying to prove that he was a gadol. The only thing that's going to be gained by exhuming the remains is to find that he has simanim, that he was a gadol, right? That's the only thing the Lukuchos could hope to prove by exhuming the remains. To prove that he was a katan, you don't need to exhume the remains for it. That, you already have the chazaka. They have the chazaka that the Yarshim are holding on to the property, so they get to keep it. You don't need to prove that he was a katan. If anything, if you want to change anything, you need to prove that he was a gadol. So what did Rabbi Akiva tell them? Proving that he was a gadol won't be any proof anyway, because maybe he'll just look like a gadol after death, but when he was alive, he was really a katan. How does that happen? Hairs grow on his body after he dies. How's he going to look? If anything, I could see the other way, that he looked like a gadol when he was alive, and now he looks like a katan because the hairs fell out. Okay? But the hairs are going to grow after he dies. How does that happen? So says Tosfos, Pirush Rabbeinu Tam shebechayav hayasaros levenos vavushuma va'achshuv hushkru la'achar misav v'nirus kesimanim. He said, no, the colors can change though. If the hairs were white when he was alive, so that's just considered a mole. That's not considered to be a simon of godless. But la'achar misa, the hairs may have become darkened, which would look like a simon of godless. So that's why he's saying, yes, even if you're able to prove that he has shtei saros la'achar misa, it does not prove anything about when he was alive. He says, problem is, I never heard of a Gemara anywhere that says that white hairs are not just as much of a simon of godless as black hairs are. So the color shouldn't make a difference. Now maybe it's about the pores from which the hairs grow. That maybe there weren't gumos when he was alive, but the gumos are there now that he's dead. That you don't need actual hairs, just having gumos alone would be enough. Says Tosos Viter, Vim Tomar on the top of Ambeis, Lama Yishlam the Lomar Shu Katan, Kivin Shigil Kal Shnosov, Amin Perik Benida Perik Basim, Katan Shigil Kal Shnosay, Inetzricha Bedika, Chazaki Viasimanim. He says, wait a second, since when do we check? Bar mitzvah boy wants a lane. You check? He's 13 years old. That's it. Mm-hmm. We don't do checks on people. When do we do a physical check? So it's actually Shiloh. It comes like Parsha Zachar. Do you let a bar mitzvah boy lay in Parsha Zachar? I remember my chavrusa a couple of years ago had the Shiloh in his shul. He wasn't sure what to do. It was bar mitzvah boy. One of the guys said, maybe just ask his pediatrician or something. Send him to the pediatrician. He said, no, that's even worse. Because if you ask the pediatrician says that he's not Hevi Saros, then you for sure can't rely on the chazaka. Then you know that he's not a gadol. You can't have him lay in any parsha. Then he's really, you can't have him lay in the parsha. Don't forget the parsha zachar, right? So then you have real problems. Okay, but anyway, typically we don't check. We rely on the fact that he's 13 years old. So what do you mean check? So he says Tosfos Yeshlomer Sha'achasha is a gadol shegiel chal shnosav lo haylo siman gadlos ulahachi ikul suke shema katanay adayin. No, it happens to be a case where we knew that after he was 13 years old, he still didn't have simanim. For whatever reason, we knew that. So now we need to know: well, did he have simanim at the time that he died, or did he not have simanim at the time that he died? The Ramban says, why does it help to check? Even if you check and you find simanim, can't the Yorshim still claim yes, he had simanim at the time that he died? But not at the time that he sold it to you. He needs to have Siman. We don't care if he has Siman at the time that he died. He needed to have been a gadol at the time that he sold it to you, not at the time that he died. The time that he died isn't the issue over here. When he sold it to you, was he a gadol? Can't the Yashim still claim that, even if you find Simanim? They'll have, they'll say, look, there's hairs all over his body. Then the Yashim will say, that's exactly right. He grew those hairs right after he sold it to you. Right? Can't they say that? So the Ramban says, you have to make another Rukimta. You have to say that he died right after the Mechira. That he sold it, Kenyan, boom, collapses, dead. Right? That's what you have to say. Otherwise, if there was any sort of lag of time in between, so it's not going to prove anything anyway. The Rambam writes, very important, the Rambam paskins, that a ben eshrim shemachar karka aviv, a 20-year-old sells his father's karka, the chozer motzi miyad alokeach, ben kodem eshrim ben achar eshrim, umotzi miyad alokeach al perisho achal, one second, here's Rambam says, Vaniomer, Shafilu katan shemachar karka minichse aviv. Even a katan who sells his father's possessions, ukeshenasa ben esrim lo micha, and then when he turns 20, he never makes a macha and says, I want to reverse the sale, eino yachal lachzar. It becomes finalized when he becomes a gadol, even though at the time of the sale he was a katan. Meaning, he doesn't have to do a new kinyan. It becomes finalized right when he becomes a gadol. Where does the Rambam get such an idea? So says the Rashba, he gets it from our Gemara, from our story. How does he see it? Because our Gemara says that, what do they have to prove? That he was a katan haya b'shas misa. Who cares about b'shas misa, right? The Ramban's point, who cares b'shas misa? Shouldn't the whole issue be whether he was a katan or a gadol b'shas mechira? No, but the point is, if he turned a gadol before his misa, that would finalize the sale that he did as a katan. That's the sheet of the Rambam. The Rambam must have gotten it from the story in our Gemara. But anyway, in the context of our Gemara, what are we trying to prove? Says the Gemara at the top, Bishlam aladidi. Again, this is a kasha that Rabbi Yochanan is asking Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that the raya is be'edim, is asking Reish Lakish, who holds that the raya is b'kiyum hashtar, and he says, Bishlam aladidi, I mean a raya be'edim. According to me, that the whole raya is a raya be'edim, given the kamar l'kuchos. Aisu edim, v'lo ashkechu, since they tell the l'kuchos, look, bring edim, that the guy was a gadol when he sold it to you or when he died, and they couldn't find edim. That's why they were looking for any other way to prove it, and they started asking, okay, can we check? Can we look at his body to see if maybe he was a gadol? Because they couldn't find edim. But according to you, that the whole raya that they have to bring is just to be Mekai in the shtar. They don't need to prove that he was a gadol. All they need to do is be Mekai in the shtar. That's all they're going to need. So then what do they have to check? Just be Mekai in the shtar. And once you're Mekai in the shtar, it's theirs. They don't need to prove gadol or not. Right? That we assume anyway. Just be Mekai in the shtar. So we totally misunderstood the whole case. The case is not talking about where the Yorshim are still holding out to the Nechasim, and the Lekuchos are coming and saying, we want it, we want to get those Nechasim away from you. No, that's not the case. The Lekuchos are already muchzuk in the Nechasim, and the B'nai Mishpacha are saying, no, our relative was only a katan when he sold it to you. We want it back. They're the ones that are being ma'arer. What do you mean, check the body? Check the body, you'll see that he was a katan. We want it back, because if you look at the body, you'll see that he was a katan. Hachinami mistavrin, you have to say that they're the ones that are making the taina. Because when Rabbi Yekiva said, you can't be menavel the body, they didn't respond. Now, if it was the Lekuchos, they would have responded. What do you mean we can't be menavel the body? If it's the family members, we understand that they didn't respond. If it's the Lekuchos, let them say, what do you mean we can't be menavel the body? We invested a lot of money in this. We paid thousands of dollars. So, if it takes being menavel the body to get our money back to retrieve our investment, that's what we should do. They would have made a taina. The family members never would have made such a taina. Aye, isn't it worth a lot of money to them also? So Tos says two things. First of all, maybe worth a lot of money to them, but they didn't invest anything in it. They never paid any money. It's a question of them receiving Yerusha or not receiving the Yerusha. The Lekuchos actually invested money in this. So the Lekuchos could have such a taina. We put a lot of money into this. Family members could have no such taina because they didn't put a single penny into it. It just happens to be that it's worth a lot. The nechasim that are being disputed may be worth a lot of money, but they certainly didn't invest anything. Secondly, Tosos says, Va'od shehu krovam, says Tosos. You don't need to say more than that. They're relatives. The relatives are going to be menavel the body. Rabbi Akiva looks at them and says, he's your brother. You're going to go and be menavel the body for a couple of bucks? So the Lekuchos will say, well, he's not our brother. We'll be menavel the body. But the relatives aren't going to... they understand that Musar Shemus from Rabbi Akiva. They understand that it's not appropriate for them to be menavel the body. It's understood that a relative treats his karov with a little bit more respect. So says Gemara, Imishum Ha, you know what, that's not really such a raya. Imishum Ha lo iria. If that's your whole raya, that it's the relatives that are coming and claiming that they want to get it back from the Lekuchos, the whole raya is the fact that they didn't respond to Rabbi Akiva. That's not really a raya. All Rabbi Akiva was saying was as follows. First of all, you're not allowed to be menavel the body. Va'od, and that's why Rabbi Akiva said va'od, meaning even if it was the Lekuchos that were coming with the taina that they want to be menavel the body, Rabbi Akiva might have said to them, look, you shouldn't be menavel the body. And even if you want a taina, well, you have thousands of dollars invested and therefore you want to be menavel the body? Simanim asuim l'shtanos la'achar misa. Well, guess what? Simanim sometimes change lachar misa, so you can't be menavel the body. So you can't. It won't help anything to be menavel the body and to look at the simanim. Shol Rabbi Shimon Lach says Rabbi Yochanan Zusha Shnuyim Mishnas Bar Kapara Harei Shayochel Sadabah Becheskas Shishalau. What about the following teaching that we had in Mishnas Bar Kapara? If someone was eating from a field and he had a chazaka v'karal, meaning chazaka, go back to Cheskas Abatim. Right, we're talking about that kind of chazaka. He's had 3 years in the field v'karal avechad iru lomar shalihi, and someone was ma'arer and said, no, it's mine. So the guy takes out a shtar, says, what are you talking about? You sold it to me. You gave it to me as a matana. If he says, I don't know this shtar, I don't think this is a valid shtar, there's a forgery, so then you could be mekayim the shtar by looking at the signatures on the shtar. Im amar shtar pasim huze, o shtar amana, shemechati lofan ansatili damim. But if he says, oh no, this, I recognize the shtar, I remember the shtar, you're right, I did write this shtar, but it was a shtar amana, it was a shtar pasim, it was a joke, it was just trying to prove that you had money, even though nothing nothing ever happened. So im yesh edim halachach redim. If there are any edim, we follow what the edim say. Vim lav halachach reshtar. If there are no edim, we follow the shtar. So lemer a meir he damr modes shtar shekasve in sort lekaimo velo rabbanan. So isn't that going exactly like Reb Meir, that as long as he was modes that he wrote the shtar, so even though he's claiming shtar pasim shtar amana, we say sorry, you're modes you wrote the shtar, it no longer requires any sort of kiyum, and that's against the rabbanan who say that it still requires a kiyum. Amr lei we say lo shiny omer divrei kol modes b'shtar shekasve ein sort lekaimo. Everyone would agree, Moda B'Shtar Shekasfu, you would not need to be Mekayimit. V'hamifluk pligi. So, Frank Thigmar, what do you mean everyone agrees that Moda B'Shtar Shekasfu ain't Sarach L'Kaimo? That's not true. Rameir's one that says ain't Sarach L'Kaimo. The Rabbanan say it's Sarach L'Kaimo. How could you say that it's Divrei Akol? V'hamifluk pligi. There's a machlokas. It's not. Ain't Namanim Kosu Divrei Meir Chamam Namanim. We just had that machlokas in Naman Aleph. So Amalei, I Eidim Alimi Umari Shtara, Iu Kol Kaminei. He says, look, if the Eidim want to go and be married the Shtar, that's fine. But the guy himself, the love himself, is going to be married the Shtar. That he doesn't have the ability. Amalei, Valo Mishimcha, Amru Yafa Iru B'nei Mishpacha. But wait a second, you're the same guy, you Rabbi Yochanan, the same guy who says that the B'nei Mishpacha have a good taina. Amalei, Zu El Azar Amra, Ani Lo Amarti Dover Zemei Olam. He says, no, you're making a mistake. I never said that. That was my Talmud of Lazar who said that. And you just assume something my Talmud of Lazar said is something that I really said. It's Gemar Yevamos of Sadi Vavam Beis that Rabbi Lazar was saying something that he heard from Rabbi Yochanan and he didn't quote it in his name. And Rabbi Yochanan got really upset until someone came and said to Rabbi Yochanan, look, everything Rabbi Lazar says is from you. So when he talks, people know it's from you. So that's exactly what's going on in this Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan is saying, oh, you must have heard Rabbi Lazar say it, so you assumed it was from me. Sometimes Rabbi Lazar says his own things also, so it's not necessarily from me. Okay, the conversation continues. We're right in the middle of something, but we got a daven. So, all right, we'll pick up on Tuesday.
We're not going to be around Shabbos.